Welcome to the Things We Don't Talk About podcast with Allison Mulligan and Mike Hartley.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Things We Don't Talk About. And you're here with me, Mike Hartley, and the wonderful Allison Mulligan. And tonight we are joined by the absolutely brilliant Irish lass herself, Emma Darcy.
Hey, everyone. It's good to see you.
Brilliant to have you here, Emma. Lovely.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's just so good. It seems like ages since seeing you, and so much gone on in the world. It's
right?
Absolutely nuts. Nuts. It seems like a lifetime ago.
I know, right? Was it January, February, Scottish Summit was the last time you all went?
Scottish Summit.
Wild.
I haven't hugged you since February.
It's crazy.
Insane.
Crazy. I'm missing all the hugs. It's just,
so much physical contact.
I know. I've said that when we all have a next big gathering, we're going to have to line up like football teams or sports teams at the end, and we're going to have to walk down the line just so we make sure we get to hug everybody.
Absolutely.
Although there are some people that are all for that, and there are some people like, no, that'll just freak me out. I can't go social distancing and everything.
Not me. I'm in for the hugs, bear hugs.
Yeah, I'd risk coronavirus for you guys. That's how much I love you.
Any day. But talking Scottish Summit, you delivered a talk at Scottish Summit. Was it, or was it in a podcast? Have I got it wrong?
I did. No, I did two sessions actually at Scottish Summit, one of them which was on imposter syndrome, which is my favourite topic to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. It's actually an interesting one because I think it's probably something that the majority of people who work in the tech industry in particular can relate to in some form or another.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I think
if you just what is imposter syndrome? Sorry, Emma.
No, you're totally fine. No, you're definitely right. It impacts a majority of people across the tech industry, especially in our own industry here as well. Imposter syndrome is most oftenly referred to as the mental phenomenon in which somebody attributes their own success to luck and charm and not to their actual successes and achievements, which is something that I think a lot of people can actually relate to specifically. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I know I can. What about you, Alison?
Oh, my God.
No, you're too confident for that. You're too confident.
Yeah, honestly, is that what you think? Because no, like I literally every time anything good happens, I always think that was really lucky that I happened to be there to do that. Or like I'm so lucky that somebody else like put me forward, or it's because someone else did something else that I got that opportunity. Yeah. So like I'm very much affected by imposter syndrome.
And I think that's just a perfect example of it. I think you guys, or gals, ladies, I use guys generically.
Guys is fine.
Yeah.
They.
You always appear so ultra confident. And yet, I know both you fairly well now. We've spoken a fair bit. And I know that beneath the outer layer, there's onion, there's layers. Sorry to quote Shrek. I'm Shrek in this instant. I mean, with you two on the call, I'm definitely Shrek. So, but there's always that assumption that you look and you see somebody who's really confident and they're going for it. And actually, they're probably crapping themselves as much as you are, if not more so. It's just hiding it. So talk to us all.
I think for me, talking about imposter syndrome, it's actually a bit of a catch-22 because I always feel like I am an imposter talking about imposter syndrome, and why should I be here talking about imposter syndrome to all these amazing people that think I'm an imposter, right? So it's like a whole loop. But one of the things that I really enjoy showing when I give this talk is there's a slide where there's multiple tweets from many, many people in our industry specifically that would be classed as community leaders and just SMEs in their field that are basically saying, yeah, I get this every time I go on stage. I get this every time I submit a project, every single time. During our talk at Scottish Summit, one of my absolute favorite human beings came out and said that he had just started a brand new role, and he's actually a really well-known MVP, and came out and said that he felt imposter syndrome as somebody who started a new role and felt like because he was MVP, people like expected perfection from him and things like that. And it was quite intimidating. So it is definitely something that kind of spans across the entire community at various different levels.
Yeah, for sure. And I think for a lot of us, and I would say, I don't want to speak for anybody else, actually. So maybe I'll just say for me, I'm also a huge introvert, which I don't think many people would believe. I'm an introvert, borderline ambivert, meaning, I straddle between the two. So lockdown has been perfect for me because I can hide away. I don't have to go out anywhere. I don't have to speak to anybody. It's been an absolute gift in many respects. As much as I miss everybody, I've been able to keep in touch. But, I am an introvert, and communicating with people a lot isn't something that comes naturally to me, and I have to overcome it because of what I do. For those of you who don't know, I'm a recruiter. I have to call people I don't know all the time. And at first I found it really, really difficult, but you find coping strategies, right? And that's all anybody's doing, is you just, everybody's just finding coping strategies for the things that they find difficult. But what Emma's done, and what you've done, Mike, and anybody else that speaks up about this, is you've made it okay for people to talk about it and say, actually, do you know what? This is something that I struggle with. This is something that I've had to find a strategy for. And I think that's the valuable part of it, because nobody likes feeling like that. Right. Nobody likes feeling like they don't have a value or that they're not doing a good job. Nobody wants to go to work and do a rubbish job. Everybody's trying to do their best. And it's very real. For me, that feeling of like, if only I was like those people. Like you said, Mike, the people that you see that you think are knocking it out of the park all the time, and you right. think they've got their stuff together completely. So for me, it's really helpful to know that like other people feel the same way that I do. Yeah,
definitely. I think one of the actual results of having imposter syndrome that I've seen before, and I had this in my slide deck, is anxiety. And that's actually something that I've experienced in the last couple of weeks. So with my imposter syndrome, I have several projects that have been due for a while. And, for me, they're somewhat outside of my comfort zone. And so I started feeling like, oh my gosh, why are they asking me to do this? I don't know how to do it. I don't have this skill set, starting to really feel like an imposter. And that actually led to some severe procrastination, which I think we all have experience with. But then the procrastination became crippling anxiety over the last couple of days because they're actually due this week. And so usually when the procrastination kicks in, my brain actually kicks in, I actually start doing some work. But this time actually it was a pretty severe crippling anxiety for the last 2 days or so. And part of a way that I get over my anxiety or get over some of my procrastination and imposter syndrome is actually by reaching out to the community and saying, hey, I'm actually having this problem. And I've had several people reach out to me over the last couple of days and like, well, what do you need? How can I help you? And just being able to hash out and talk out some of these issues with certain people has been super helpful for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's an awesome suggestion. Sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to speak over you.
No, I was going to say exactly the same. I mean, I think that's where you kind of realise just how special this community is. I mean, for me personally, I've never heard of imposter syndrome. And I started to go back and try and work out where I first heard it. And I think it was probably you, Emma, mentioning it previously, way back in the last sort of year or so plus. Mm-hmm. That suddenly made me think, hold on, there's something here. It's not just me. It's not me. And then able to sort of talk to a few people out there. And I'm not going to speak for other people, but I know there are plenty of other people out there that do feel the same. And it was sort of the more you sort of talk to people, the more people go, yeah, actually, we're the same. And that whole conversation piece and bringing it out into the open, being really willing to be vulnerable in the first place, because you are putting yourself out there when you admit to something. But then that affirmation you get back from people in the community of, well, yeah, I feel the same. And OK, you've got a talk coming up in a couple of weeks time at an event. I'll ring you the night before. Check how you're doing. Or you can call me anytime. Doesn't matter what time of night or day. Give me a call and I'm there for you. I'll run through slides with you. And everything else. And that level of support you can get from talking to people is brilliant. And also the whole thing with your with the anxiety you mentioned. Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's a massive side effect of the whole imposter syndrome. And
absolutely.
I mean, I suffer anxiety anyway, as one of my many things that I deal with on a daily basis. So it just amplifies it. So apart from talking to people in the community, are there any other things you've found that help you out, or words of advice and wisdom?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, one of the first things I kind of like to point out is that people say they suffer from anxiety or suffer from different things. I think it's a better frame of mind to put it as though you live with it instead of saying suffering, because it is something that, you know, I have a chronic pain condition. I live with a chronic pain condition. And while, yes, at times it definitely sucks balls completely, but it's helpful to kind of rephrase it and put it in a more positive light than saying, like, you know, you suffer, you actually live with it. So that's just one thing I kind of just wanted to share. It helped me significantly. Things that help me cope with anxiety. It's not something that I would say that I live with on a regular basis. It's something that occurs occasionally, and it's definitely been a pretty serious issue this week. So for me, I reached out to some of my best friends. Andrew Welch is probably one of my closest friends, as we all know, in the community, and he has been a bit of a lifesaver for me the last couple of days. So he will basically take a step back and will be super logical with me and say, hey, well, why are you feeling this way? What is it that you need to do? Write down your list and tackle it step by step, because I also live with ADD. So as somebody with ADD, if I have too many things on my plate, I will get completely overwhelmed and my anxiety will then kick in. And so for me, having a third person to just go to and sit and say, list these things out, work on them one by one, tackle the things that are most important, has been significantly helpful.
I'm very interested in that. So there's two things I want to pick up on there. Number one, ADD, the vast number of very successful entrepreneurs are people that suffer with ADD. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit if you're going to run a business.
Oh, wow. Good to know.
Because you can achieve a lot, right? And you can get a lot done in less time than a lot of other people. So it's a huge benefit. Aside from that, the anxiety, I wouldn't say that I have anxiety or that I live with anxiety. I'm not an anxious person. I don't get nervous or anything like that. So like my foibles are in a different area. But when you were saying then that, because your anxiety gets high, you start procrastinating. I definitely do that. I find myself procrastinating when I have tasks to do that are ones and it's not even necessarily that task that I don't want to do. I know that that task leads on to something else. And so I don't want to start the task before until I get to a point where I have to do it because time is running out and my hand is forced. So like, you know, perhaps I do have some anxiety. Almost certainly that I have some anxiety that I need to deal with around not wanting to do things because I know I don't want to do them.
or it could well be. And I mean, I should have said at the beginning, obviously, we're not medical professionals. We're not psychiatrists, psychologists or anything. We're just sharing our own personal experiences and what we've found works for us. But it might be that the anxiety is, well, if you live with anxiety, it might just be that that gets amped up a bit. But the procrastination is something, I suspect it's something that is different for each individual person. I mean, we know Donna talks about neurodiversity and how we all fit on this different sort of chart, and the diagram that she uses to show that sort of radar map of where people can be different parts on this diagram. And I mean, for me, I find that so amazingly helpful, because I mean, hearing you talk, Emma, and just saying how you have procrastination, you have ADD, live with anxiety every now and then, and imposter syndrome. And I mean, I could list, and I have listed, many of the things I deal with, along with chronic pain. So I'm with you on that score. And I think it's that whole thing of, I say it regularly, and I'm not going to stop saying it until we all get it, but it is okay to not be okay. We're all made up in such a way that none of us is perfect. None of us have got it all held together in our heads. None of us have all got everything perfect. Every single one of us will have something mentally that we're dealing with. Now, it might be something that only crops up occasionally. So, I mean, quite often, if I'm heading up a project, then I can feel imposter syndrome, because I think, well, those people know better than me. Why am I doing it? Or if I'm speaking, well, why am I speaking? Why am I putting myself forward? I know no better than the people in the room. But it could be lots of so many different things. And it's just remarkable to actually realize that the more we have these conversations, the more we talk about it together, and we realize just how we're all made up, and we all have these things that we live with, the more we realize how normal it is.
Right. I think especially right now, it's quite compounded by the fact that we're all living through a global pandemic, right? So, you know, things are completely out of control. And I don't know about many other people, but when things are out of my control, I start trying to control other aspects of my life, which tends to impact me mentally as well. So right now, it's definitely okay to not feel okay, because nobody feels okay right now. And it's important to recognize that.
Everything's up to 11 at the moment.
Yep. It's very much important to recognize that if you're not feeling mentally okay, or if you're suffering from or living with some form of anxiousness or procrastination or something like that, it's totally okay to feel that way.
I just want to, like, I think you've got some other top tips for, you know, coping strategies or things that people can do. And I think what would help me is if you have any, like, definitely don't do's when people are having a hard time, because I'm one of those people, I'll go galloping in and stick my foot in it. Everything's fine, don't worry about it, you know.
Yeah.
And the person's going like, no, everything isn't fine, you know. So what are the don't do's?
Don't think this is a really good question. I never get asked that question, so that's a really good one. Kind of diminishing how somebody feels is really important. So if somebody's like, yeah, I'm really, you know, not feeling great, I'm really worried about this project, just kind of turning around to them and say, oh, you'll be fine, doesn't really help anybody. It totally, you're basically just negating that person has negative feelings towards something for no reason. So that's one of the definitely the important things I would say. Other don't do's would be, from a personal aspect, don't listen. Try not to listen to those, like, inner voices, right? So we all have those inner voices that are like, oh no, you just won. You just got this Microsoft exam. You passed it because you just clicked on the right buttons and you actually don't know anything, which honestly is what I said to myself last Thursday. I was like, there's no way I'm going to pass this exam. But yeah, that kind of voice in my head kind of creeped in. I was like, oh, you're very lucky to have passed that. There's no way you should have passed that. And just because you have this certification doesn't mean anything. But at the end of the day, right, it actually does. So we give exams a lot of stick. A lot of people be like, oh, exams don't mean anything. I feel like that comes from the people who don't actually take the exams a lot of the time, to be honest. But anyway, side note, the exams, while they're not like, you know, you doesn't mean that you are actually like an expert in absolutely everything. You study for the exam, you pass that exam, you took the time to take all of those exams, and that actually does count for something. So try not to write your achievements off.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's really useful advice. Yeah, I like that. And any other top tips that we maybe haven't covered? Top tips.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite one ever, and this is something that my therapist said to me a long, long time ago, is that when you're starting to feel overwhelmed about something or you're starting to doubt yourself, ground yourself in the facts is something that I have always found very, very helpful. So for me, for example, I have a project that's coming up tomorrow that I'm really anxious about. And I've often kind of questioned, oh, did they ask me to speak on this topic because they felt sorry for me, or they, you know, think it's kind of fun to have an Irish accent on a show or something like that. You know, I literally just started discounting.
Well, when is it not fun to have an Irish
true
accent?
But I start kind of discounting myself and my skill set. And so I'm starting to reel it back. I'm like, well, actually, I am pretty well known for talking about this topic. I have achieved all these things. I'm now, you know, a pre-sales engineer at a company, which is a pretty significant role to have. So grounding myself in those facts. And some people might say it's self-gratuitous, but I disagree with that. You're basically just, you know, confirming to yourself that you are exactly where you need to be, which is another cheesy statement that I absolutely hate. But in this case, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So if somebody's having a hard time, the best things you can do is say, okay, well, you know, what are you having a hard time with? Do you just want to get it off your chest? Do you want to talk it through? You know, what are the facts of the situation? Like you said, Andrew Welch does with you. You know, what are the facts of the situation? What's good? What's bad? What needs to happen? Or maybe not even categorizing what's good, what's bad, but just helping them to talk it through. Because sometimes, you know, if I'm having a hard time, sometimes I don't want someone to give me advice. I just want to offload, and that just makes me feel better. So
absolutely. Yeah. And tackle one thing at a time. So yesterday I was in a really bad state. And so I was like, even if I just tackle one thing, if I just achieve one small thing for the day, I'll feel like I did something. And so that's when I wrote half of a blog post. So I didn't finish the thing, but I actually started, you know, my mental set was different when I actually started it. So that's another really important thing to remember too.
Awesome. Awesome.
That's a great, great place to wind things up, actually, is if you can just bring yourself to do just one thing, just get one thing done. Hear that ding if you use Microsoft To Do.
Yes.
I mean, the sound of that ding is so affirming. It's brilliant. They pick that sound just right. But if you can do one thing and you can say, I've achieved this, then you can feel you've had a successful day. And I think it's a really good way. And I love that whole thing of grounding yourself in the facts. It's something I think I'm going to print that out and just have it above my monitors on my desk, as I need that pretty much most days. But Emma, it has been wonderfully fantastic having you here with us. It has been a pleasure as always. And thank you for sharing. I know you've spoken about this subject so many times, but it's because we recognise that you've done the research, you know what you're talking about a bit more than the rest of us do.
There you go.
You do. I mean, your definition at the beginning was brilliant. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And a huge thank you from me, because you're always there. Like, I, you know, whenever I've reached out to you, you've always been like super responsive and always been there to help. And I really appreciate you for that as well.
I appreciate both y'all. Y'all are key aspects of this community, and we wouldn't be here without you.
I catch you. But thank you very much. Thank you. And we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Emma.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Things We Don't Talk About with Allison Mulligan and Mike Hartley.